Fab. I'm going to keep my comments very brief. Vicky, thank you for saying no one realises they're getting older. How many of the audience arrived on this planet after 2001? A couple of youngsters. So my resilience journey probably started on the 9th of September in 2001 when the Twin Towers came down, because I was the crisis manager at GCHQ. And in case it isn't obvious, we didn't have the playbook for what to do when the Twin Towers come down. And that was quite a long time ago. And then I had an exercise in resilience this morning because I was at the Excel Centre for a defence conference and had to be here by 11:30. So I played the war game, which is which public transport is working and which isn't. And thank the Lords, whether it was deliberate or not, who decided that the Elizabeth line was going to run on different management from the rest of the tube system. Because London without an arterial transport network is a challenge. And now my phone's going to not recognise my face, which is a different challenge because my memory is now on my phone. So my career was sort of the lived experience of a lot of the thinking and the great ideas that are on the table. So I just want to lay out some of my career for you, not to celebrate it because I've forgotten most of it, but so you can interrogate it as you're asking questions. Support to military operations, starting back in the Balkans wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. Crisis management evolving from that 9/11 shock horror moment through to how do we make this a more systemic response, quite a lot about the sense of place, how do you build your crisis management in an organisation, starting from rooms with functions to which you bring people with expertise in order to make sure that there's very distinct clarity around the role and the responsibility of that person in that room at that time, even though the situation is evolving and we don't actually have a clue what we're doing yet. So some really interesting stuff around that on crisis management. I ran the security plan for the London Olympic Games, so that too is quite a long time ago now. Seem to have had some Olympics since then. That was an interesting challenge in resilience because I was given the job with a year to go and frankly not enough had been done, and the mantra was safe and secure games, and it very much looked as if it might not be. And it would have been quite a different experience for London than the UK had some of those worst-case scenarios came out. So having started that with, you know, how do we do just enough to get across the line, we then had to look at how do we make this real for people? How do we get a sense of urgency into something that isn't here yet? Particularly challenging in a national security community, you look at your mathematicians and your computer scientists and maybe your wargamers, I don't know, and you say, there's a sporting event and it's really important, we haven't done enough, and you can imagine what the response was. And we had to mobilise and inspire that community that this really mattered. I can talk about some of why I think that worked. Some of those deliveries, of course, live with us today in terms of the infrastructure, and other things around London. What else have I done? Oh, I then lived a great power competition. Can't remember who mentioned that, because I was one half of standing up the National Cyber Force. And the great power competition was between defence and national security. Who was going to run it? Who was going to pay for it? How was it going to get staffed? So being on the inside of that is fascinating. But, of course, what we also had to do was make that capability real for ministers. And we use Cyber Warrior, which is the national offensive cyber exercise, to do that. So a lot of what you are talking about in terms of the theory of wargaming, of exercising, of bringing things to life for people, making some of the concepts, some of the cultural pieces, a lot of the emotion, we had to do that for Vice Chief and others. I then resigned from government. And lockdown started about a week later. That was really foolish on my behalf. I obviously not read my own rule book. And I'd either the best or the worst neighbour looking around my community and going, A, I'm bored, and B, this could get really bad. So I have the best organised parish in the country. Unless anyone wants to compete, you're very welcome. I'm quite a competitive individual. My parish was divided up into 150 street block population, aggregated into 450s, worked out what all the comms mechanisms were, who was going to lead each team. We had big distribution, we had comm systems, we had two-factor authentication on all our Facebook groups. So basically I played games with my community for 2 years, but they were quite well looked after as a result.
Can I see the business continuity plan?
I can talk about them. I didn't even know I was doing them, but it was fun. So that was COVID. So 20, far too many decades of experience living everything that you guys are talking about and trying to make real and make important. So that's me, and sense of place, the reality of the war games, the why, what matters, the emotion, all of it. I was just echoing. Your comments were resonating with you, but I'm very happy to take questions because ultimately, folk, I'm afraid it's what you want to hear. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much.
You asked for landmines. I didn't put many landmines in there.
Sorry.
I will put one landmine in, and I'll ask a provocative question, which is that everyone's stretched for time and money. So how do we make this imperative? And I'll use Duolingo. Who's got a Duolingo account? A Duolingo, it's an online app for language learning. Right. How many people have got a couple of hundred days streaks? Yeah. How many people actually think their language is better than when they started?
Yeah.